Now I'm about to start. Listen, go ahead and clap your hands real quick. Clap your hands. I know. No, it's a little different, order, but that's okay. Jesus still Jesus, amen. Amen. He said, God still love you. He still love you. Even though we're doing things out of a different order. Amen. Oh, let's see. Matthew chapter 18. And here's what I need from you this morning. In order for this to come across, or in order for this to hit home, or in order for this to go to a point in your heart to where it makes consistent change, where you won't revert back to the old thing, but stay the new thing that you were created to be. There's something that I need first. Go to Matthew 18 real quick. And my Jesus, in his red words, said something. And you'll see this word, accept. Not accept, receive, but accept like otherwise, like please do this. Right? Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. And he says, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Whosoever, verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you read a little bit before that in the context, they always was asking which one of us gonna be the greatest. The disciples had an infatuation with themselves. They were searching and studying and praying and following, and there was something deep down in them about themselves so much what they had the audacity to ask Jesus, which one of us is going to be the greatest? So here's Jesus in verse 3, he says, except you be converted, change your mind, and become as a child, you can't enter into the kingdom. Except you drop all the stuff that you thought you mastered already that ain't working. All the things that we thought made us grown-ups and mature people that ain't working. All the steps that we were taught to make and the ways that we were taught to do things and we become professional at doing them, but some kind of way they don't work like they should. Except you become as a child, you will not enter into God's ways of doing things. Except you drop what you think you're so intelligent about or what you think you figured out, you will not enter into God's new way of doing things. There's a scripture Jesus would say another time. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means to change your mind. There's a new way of doing things. Somebody say that. There's a new way of doing things. I'm going to say it again. There's a new way of doing things. Now, if you got any ways in your life that you've been doing over and over and over and over again, but it hadn't been showing the results like you, anybody? Hadn't been showing the results like you wanted them to show? Come on, anybody? Oh, I've been diligent at it, but it hadn't been showing the results that I know I should be getting. Anybody in the house? We'll fix that this morning. Except you become as a child, though. We're going to flip. We're going to flip it a little bit this morning, because this children's church. Don't feel no kind of way. I know I'm grown. I'm in the big church right now. This is adult church. Only 13 and up in this room. No. Children's church. Say we children's church this morning. Church. Open up your mouth and say it. You a child this morning. You a child whether you want to be one or not. I'm looking at you as a child this morning. Because we are not going to make any progress with your grown thoughts. That ain't really grown anyway. Do you know what grown really means in the Bible? Like we're grown. Everybody says, I'm grown. Don't talk to me like, you know what grown really means? You know what it really means to be a grown up in the Bible? It's to use this word called perfect. Oh, that hit home now. So you don't feel so grown right now, do you? It talks about grown. It's talking about mature and perfect. And then in Ephesians, I don't even have to go over there. He talks about the only way you really know you're perfect or mature or really grown is when you've grown up into him in all things. Whoa. Grown up into Jesus in all things. Whoa. Let me say it again. The only way you know you're really grown is when I've grown up into Jesus in the same measure, same stature I'm looking like. And when you see me, you see him. When I talk, you hear him. When I say something, it moves just like it moves on him. That's grown. If we ain't got that going on, we got some growing up, except you become as a children's church. Come on, say it. Say, we the children's church this morning. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. We're the children. So accept you become as a child. So I need that. I need that this morning. I need that from you this morning in order for us to make the progress. I just don't need you throwing back, because I'm going to go to one of your favorite scriptures this morning. It's one of your favorite scriptures that you learn from Children's Church. But I don't need your interpretation this morning. Are y'all understanding? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, say it again. Say amen.
Amen.
Come on, say it again. Say amen.
Amen.
It's a very, very, very familiar scripture. But last night I got to talking to the Lord and I turned to the scripture and he started showing me some things and made me look up some things. So I heard this before that it says, in order for you to really get an idea across, or for to really hit home, you got to be able to explain it where an 8-year-old will understand it. Anybody ever heard that before? Like if you can't explain it to where an 8-year-old consciousness can understand it, it really won't hit home for you. Some stuff be too deep for you. You ever heard a too deep message? Anybody in the house ever heard a? You said amen. You said glory to God, but you didn't know what was going on. I remember years back, Morning Man came and started preaching about, you know, not like we're doing now. He started preaching about the end times and what the signs was going to show and what the star, which way the stars was going to be standing. And then we can look for that way because Jesus to come back, because he's going to come back on that side when the stars line up on this side. And all this, I said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. All I know, he said, no man going to know the date or the time. So it got confusing to me, right? But it says you can explain it and make it simple, then it'll stick. It'll stick. Y'all ready?
Yes.
We're going to do a little singing. Everybody say, me, 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 me. Come on, warm it up. Come on, warm it up. Me, me, me. We're going to get it right tone. All right, watch this. We're going to do a little singing. You ready? And we're going to finish it. I'm going to start it. Y'all going to finish it, okay? Are y'all ready?
Yes.
I said, are y'all ready?
Yes.
You finish it. Ready? A, B, C, D.
E, F, G. H, I, J, K, L, M.
Is everybody singing?
Q, R, A.
All y'all know this song? Hold on. Stop. Stop. All y'all know this song? Somebody need to make a record to get some spins off. Everybody know this song? And you learn that from when? Oh. Except you become as a... It's a simple thing. Now, that is the basis of all your talking right now. You don't say no letters that you didn't learn in the A, B. But hold on. The reason, whatever age you are right now, the reason that sticks with you so much is because you learned it as a child. See, it hit home. You know that better than you know a lot of other stuff. As soon as I started singing, I ain't had to get A, B, C, D. You knew it because it's in you. It's so far in you that it's a part of you. Matter of fact, I could not convince you that ain't the ABC song.
Right. That's good.
You'll fight me right now. Yes, it is the ABC song. Mary had a God. No, y'all know all the hits, don't y'all? Cause it's stuck. Cause it's stuck. It's something about people that master the industry, the music industry knows you gotta make it simple like a child and make it repetitive and make it rhyme so that you remember. They told me that Jesus spoke in what they call epigrams. I mean, that's a deep word, so now I'm back to the grown folks stuff, right? No, simple way to say it, it just was rhymes and rhythms. So the reason they were able to remember a lot of stuff that he said, because he said it in a certain rhythm, except the man enter into the kingdom of God, except the seed go into the ground and die. And he would repeat that same story in that same rhythm and that same flow. He said it in that way so that it would hit home. And he kept it in simple terms. What we call parables are just simple terms. Now, the parables may be a little deep to us right now because we are not farmers.
That's
right. So we start talking about a seed in the ground. We trying to figure out what that looked like, because some of us ain't never planted a seed in the ground. I'm talking about like a real one. Like in the dirt. Some of us don't know what that's like to till the ground. That's a foreign object to us. We done bought all our fruits from the store. Amen. But he makes it simple and gets down to a point so that it can stick. It can stay home with you, and it becomes a part of your everyday understanding.
That's right.
A lot of revelation is too fleeting for us. We get it. It's exciting. We receive it with joy, but it's shallow in us. Jesus started talking like that. As soon as we walk off from the place that we received it, it's stolen from us. Anybody? Come on. Anybody in the house, wave your hand at me. Anybody? We got it with joy, and I knew this was the one that was going to change my life, but then some kind of way it got stolen from me because it wasn't deep enough.
Wow.
See, what you think is, oh, my God. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. right? Paul started saying, don't let yourself be fooled with subtlety of life. Don't let yourself be fooled from the simplicity that is in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so what we're looking for as a deep thing is really the simple thing that hits home. Yeah. Yeah. All right? Y'all with me? If you're with me, say amen. So now it's a simple understanding. And Jesus was not trying to be deep or off somewhere where you could not understand it, but our understanding had been flipped. Our understanding had been changed ever since the Garden of Eden, ever since we ate from the knowledge of good and evil. We was just smart. We just knew everything. Come on, don't you feel like you know everything? And you're not going to say it right now, but you act like it sometime, right? I know I do. Don't tell me nothing. I know that already. So we begin to walk in our ways. That's all the tree was. Tree of knowledge of good and evil was just deciding the way that you wanted to walk. Forsaking the way that was made for you to the way that you wanted to make for yourself. But yet God never changed his mind about how simple everything is. But if I overthink, anybody ever overthought something before? Huh? Have you ever overthought a conversation? I told you go in there, but you overthought it. Now you forgot what I told you the first time. I'm overthinking. I'm looking for something deep and somewhere else. I'm looking for something all over the place. Where's the kingdom of God? They say, low here, low there. Let's go on a search. No, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. It's right there. Watch how simple this is. Listen to me, Gabe. Watch how simple it is. It's right there inside of you when you went to sleep and when you woke up this morning. And it is the most simple understanding that I put it on the inside of you. It makes so much sense when I take time to meditate it. That you put everything I need right there on the inside of me. No, it's right there. Come on. It's right there. Right there on the inside of you. Everything I need is right. That's so simple. Like is it more simple to if you need some apples, right? Is it more simple? Is it a more simple process to have it in your house already or to have to go get it? No, man. Answer my question. If you need apples right now, right? Is the more simple thing for it to be in your house already so you can just reach in there or walk in there and get it? Or is it more simple to go out there, go to the store, pick the apples up, put them in the bag, take them to the counter, then check out, then drive back to your house? Which one is more simple? In the house already, ain't it? It's more simple for it to be in the house already, right? It's more simple for it to be there already because it's easy access. This is what he's saying about the kingdom of God. It's already there. You ain't got to go to the store to get it. But you don't know because we've been taught to go to the store. For our whole entire lives, for most of our Christian lives, we've been taught to go to the store to go get it. And it's been backwards. So now we've been going to get it so much we ain't got nothing to give. When you have everything to give on the inside of you right now, listen to me, except you become as a child, you got to understand me this morning. That you already have everything that you need since the beginning. I'm not asking you about your mistakes. Right now the enemy starts popping his head up, his ugly head, and talking about, well, you know you did this. Well, you know you didn't pray that much this morning. Well, you know you don't really know that much. Nobody asks you about how many scriptures you know. You got it already. Say, I got it already. Come on, say it again. Say, I got it already. What you got is not based on what you do. Listen what I'm saying to you. We have this connotation that morality leads to truth. No. Truth leads to morality. We've been trying to be good so that God will talk to us, but your goodness ain't the prerequisite for God to speak to you. Huh? Well, I got to get a little bit holy because God's not going to talk to me. Sin is separating from the Father. Well, what can separate us from the love of God? Can we put those scriptures together? Think about this. All right, y'all have heard that before, right? That sin separates you from the Father. And now you're separated from, what can separate us though? So what that is? Okay. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. I already got it on the inside. Say it. Come on, say it. I already got it on the inside. I already got it on the inside. Say it. This will fix us from all our journeys of trying to get things. I already got it. Everything else is a result or manifestation. It's filled up by what I got already. So it's okay if you go get a degree from a college, but that degree is filled up by the power of God you have already. Just like a balloon is filled up with the power of God.
That's right.
I already got it.
So
this connotation has been fleeting from us, though, because we've been taught a good and evil mentality. We were taught morality before we knew that God loved us. We said, you better act right, then God will love you.
Right.
Come on, y'all know I ain't by myself. You better do the right thing, then God's going to bless you.
Right, right.
But you alive. That ain't no blessing for you right there? Who bless who first? And so flip. Everybody say flip. Come on, say it again. Say flip. Like my mentality and my understanding has to flip. Because sometimes, spell your name real quick. Everybody knows it's going to sound like a bunch of ABCs again. But just spell your name real quick. Spell it right quick, like your whole name. I don't want the short one. I need the long name. Like if your name is pretty long, just go ahead and say that long name that you ain't never told nobody before. Just go ahead and say, spell it out. Spell that name out right quick. Now spell it backwards. Oh. Wow, hold on, stop. Hold on. Spell it backwards. You can spell it backwards. Now you're thinking right now. L-L-E-R-T. Okay. Right? Now you spell it backwards. Now what? Did you figure that out yet? Spell it backwards? Now say it backwards. Listen what I'm trying to tell you. Listen what I'm saying. Watch this. It's the same letters. And they're in the same sequence. But depending on what side you start on is what the sound that you get. Depending on which letter you start with is the sound that you get, the name that you get, the call. And sometimes we've been so backwards that it's the same letter, same word if you write it down. But if I start this way and start sounding it out this way, then you'll never recognize what your name is. That's pretty simple, ain't it? That's not deep, is it? Pretty simple, right? Same letters, same sequence. But the order or the direction that you read it from determines everything about the meaning. And so here we are with the power of God on the inside of us, but we're living on the outside. We're reading our name backwards. Here we are with everything that we need right here on the inside, and it's already been there, and it's always been there, and he didn't change his mind. Even when you messed up, he didn't take it from you. But we are consistently reading our names backwards and calling ourselves out of our name. And we're consistently reading our name backwards, and so we're doing things backwards. We're doing things the other way. We're trying to get fruit without starting with the seed. We're trying to live backwards. It doesn't go that way. It goes from the seed on up, not the other way. We're trying to develop branches without going to our roots. Every branch that we develop, watch this, every branch that we develop comes from a root, good or bad. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. So if there's some things that I'm trying to break in my life and some habits that I'm trying to break in my life, I need to stop chopping on the branch and go to the root. Go back to the first thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Where that's at? Seek on the inside of yourself first before you start blaming outside what's going on. If we master the inside, we'll master the outside. I'll say it again. When we master the inside, we become masters of the outside. Because everything without comes from something within. Everybody say it's simple. Come on, say it again. Say it's simple. Come on, say it one more time. It's simple. And it's simple right now because we're assembled together and we're believing in the same way and everybody's listening to me talk right now. And it's simple. We're going in the same direction in our thoughts. But we have to develop ourselves to where it stays simple in chaos. When you leave out of here, you go talk to some people that don't believe like you. And I'm not talking about sinners. Like, I'm not talking about people that talk about something totally different. I'm talking about some of your people that you know went to church today that you're about to go have lunch with, but they don't believe it's on the inside. They believe they got to do works. You got to remain your simplicity in the midst of chaos. Are y'all understanding me? So I'm saying this for a reason because John chapter 3. He starts talking about accepting this chapter 2. In school, I learned in English and then in reading and different things, I learned about context. Everybody say context. You can't just pick an idea out because of a random sentence. You have to know what the context is, because if I don't give you context, then you don't even know what. That's how the law and the weakness of the law happened. Jesus told him to do something, the Father told him to do something at one time, but it was in context to that time, in that moment, what was going on at that moment, and everybody took it as law and started doing it everywhere, but it didn't fit the new time. Right? Well, I'll show you. I'll show you. Can I give examples? I'm teaching like a so we can get some understanding. You give a lot of examples. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Just stay with me, okay? So, you know, if I tell you to jump up right now and lift your hands and shout to the Lord, hallelujah. Let's do it real quick. Jump in there, lift your hands, say hallelujah, scream it, go.
Hallelujah.
Come on, do it, come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on, do it again, come on.
Hallelujah.
All right, you may be seated. Now, because I told you to do that, right now, when we're together in a place where that's the norm, like nobody's going to think that you're crazy if you jump up and scream hallelujah right now. They might look at you a little bit like, wow, you loud, but they're not going to. Nobody's going to jump up and think it's out of order because this is a place where we do this. So in context, I understand why you jumped up and screamed hallelujah. And then plus I told you, but I was okay with telling you that here because it's the context. It's the time. We at service. We came for this. We came to worship the Lord this morning, right? So the context says jump up. But you're not going to do that at lunch hour tomorrow in the middle of your office. Now, maybe you will. And you're just for the fire on fire for the Lord. And that's okay. Be on fire for Jesus. It's okay. But if you do it in the middle of the phone call that you're taking tomorrow or the appointment that you're making or the meeting that you have with somebody else, well, it's not that it's a wrong thing. It's the wrong time for this. Everybody say context. But see, what we did, we start making, oh, see, jump up and throw your hands up and say hallelujah. So now that's for everything. And some moments you have to sit down and be like, hallelujah in the name of Jesus. Depending on where you are. Context. Everybody say context. But what we like to do with the Bible and with the Word of God, we take almost everything out of context. So they said it. So now we out here washing feet. Because Jesus washed their feet. Oh, y'all didn't know Jesus was washing people's feet. Oh, let me go and tell that story though. You know, right before it's time for him to go, Jesus took a towel and girded himself and went in the room of his disciples. He said, give me a towel and everything. And he began to wash the disciples' feet. He's trying to show what real humility is. He's trying to teach what humility is. But nevertheless, listen, it is a concept that you can catch the underlying principle. But we don't need to do a feet washing service this morning. Well, you say, well, why? Everybody say imagination. Everybody say understanding. Everybody say context. Many times we read the Bible so much for a rule book, we don't even put ourselves in the story. So you got to put yourself in the story in the moment of who he's talking to, why he's talking to him like that. What is he saying? What is going on right now in this moment that makes him say this? That's what part of our meditation is, right? So now he's washing feet because they walking around with open feet in the dust all day. Ain't no cars, ain't no clothes, toe shoes, ain't no socks or nothing. It's just dust. You just a dirt foot. So now it was honor when you walked into somebody's house.
Right.
When you came to somebody's house, one of the first things you were to give them, they said you anoint their head with oil. In other words, give them some lotion and give them something to cool them down. And then, right. And then you would often want to wash their feet because you know their feet was dirty from walking a long time.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have a feet washing service and you're out of context.
Right.
Everybody say context.
Context.
Everybody say understanding.
Understand.
And watch this, and we don't use this, no. Everybody say imagination.
Imagination.
Yeah, good. And so I'll define some things. I learned in school that even with context, please stop. I put this on one of my social medias the other day, and I just want to, please stop acting like you know what words mean all the time. Sometimes I'm talking, and, you know, one of them big words will come out some kind of way. And everybody be like, yeah. I said, you know what that means? No, I don't know exactly what it means at all. I said, hold on, you need to stop and find out what that means because you don't even know what the sentence is saying. If you can't define what the word means, the sentence is made of words. If I can't define what the word means, then I don't even know what the sentence means. So take a little time. We got phones and all that and Google and all that. Look them words up. Look at your neighbor and say, look them words up. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, look them words up. Look them up. If you don't understand what it is, look it up because you don't even know what's being said. I learned this, that I have to have a definition of these words. And when I have a definition of these words, it gives a meaning to what's being said. If I don't know the word, I definitely don't know the sentence.
Yeah.
Are you understanding me?
Yeah.
The Bible was written, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. Anybody speak Hebrew in here? Anybody? Greek? You ain't taking for an elective or nothing like Greek, no. Okay. So y'all, what y'all speak?
Hebrew.
So these things were translated. A lot of things are lost in translation. You ever play the little telephone game? Where they, somebody got to tell somebody something, and they tell it in the ear, and they pass it around. You might have never played it. And then by the time you get to the end, it's a whole other story. Right? You know what you said at first. But some kind of way it passed through so many different minds that were thinking on their own. And wanted to think about it the way that they want to think about it, that when it gets to the end, it's a totally different thing from what you said at the original place. So now with these words, we've got to define them. Kevin, you listen to me. We've got to define them and see what are you really saying here. It's very easy to be religious and traditional and just take it from what they told us and just keep reading it that same way and not know the inside of what's going on. It's very easy to do that. And we just keep quoting and keep yelling and keep saying it. I know I said it right here and it didn't show nothing, but I'm going to keep saying it that same way instead of looking inside and seeing what it really means. So John chapter 3, we're going to start off verse 1. I know y'all want to go to 16 real fast because this is the one. Let me just get out your system. Go ahead and say it. John 3:16. Go ahead. Ready, read. Go say it. Just go. Come on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. Come on, hold on, let's say it together. Let's say it better together. John chapter 3, verse 16, ready, say.
For God so loved the world.
His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we got that out, okay? We got that out. You already know what you think that means, don't you? Cool. Verse 1. I'm gonna get this done. John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So what I was saying is, he's of the Pharisees. That means he studied, he's passed all the classes, he's went all through all the religious courses. He has a master's in Judaism. I already know what religious law looked like, so really I'm supposed to be teaching you, not the other way around. That describes who this man is. He's a man of the Pharisees and a ruler of the Jews. He's an authority. He's used to everybody listening to what he's saying as opposed to, you can't teach me nothing right now. Verse 2, now watch what Jesus tells him, what we've been talking about. Then the same came to Jesus. He came to Jesus, okay, by night, and said to him, Rabbi means master. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Do y'all see that? So now there's something that Jesus showed that made him come to him. He didn't have to go get him. Come on, you listening to me? There was something about Jesus that made the master, one of the master and the leaders of the Jews, the Pharisees, come to him. So I know ain't nobody doing, nobody can do these stuff except God be with them. We know you from God. Do they know you from God? Verse 3, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto thee, and this is not, this sound like the last thing we said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Everybody say context. Everybody say understanding. Everybody say imagination. Now if you put yourself, because we live by hindsight and we already think we know what born again means and we've been using it the regular way for so long, this don't really hit home for you unless you break yourself down and really put yourself in the story. This man that came in here, and I'm looking for something deep, and he told me I gotta be born again. Yeah. Now, drop your born again Christian term for a second. Born again, we know what that means. No, stop for a second. Just take two words, born. Everybody say born. And again. Come on, say it again, say born. And again. All right, what does it mean to be born? We don't have to go into detail. You come out the birth canal, you come out of the baby crying. Are y'all listening to me? So, but you're already here listening to this right now. So that means you were born already. Right? Everybody in here been born, right? Okay, thank you. Amen. If you ain't been born, we got to do another prayer. Cast something else out. Whatever that is, right? You've been born, right? And you're probably in that process of what your understanding of being. Now, we're just talking about born. And that process of understanding what born is, you probably won't be born again in that way. Right? We're not going back in and then coming, right? Right? So when Jesus starts talking to this man and say, you must be born again, he's like, what are you talking about? Born again. I'm born already. You don't see me? Except you become a little child, you won't enter into the kingdom. Sound the same, don't it? Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into a mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now he's tripping you out right now. What do you mean by this? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say this to thee. You must be born again. In other words, don't be so confused. Don't be so amazed, because I'm saying to you, it's simple. You must be born again. Everybody say it's simple. You must be born again. Wasn't so simple at the time. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hear the sound thereof, but can't tell where it's coming and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now it gets like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Come on, bro. Like, can you really break this down for me? What are you talking about? But see, if my mind is thinking too deep and too grown and that I know already, then this sounds confusing to me. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus said, art thou a master of Israel? And you, wait, how long you been going to Word of Life? And you don't know this? You went to what ministry school? You got a doctorate in what kind of theology? And you don't, you've been a Christian how long? What? And you don't know? Art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Verse 12, if I told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? I told you something simple. I started talking to you in your terms. Everybody been born. I started talking like that. That's a regular thing. And you can't understand this. How you going to understand the spiritual thing? Verse 13, and no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. In other words, I'm telling you, I done came down from there. I can tell you how this works. You trying to make your way to there. You're endeavoring and working real hard to live right so you can get the glory. I came from glory and showed you what glory looked like in the flesh. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. I done came from glory and showed you what glory looks like in the flesh, and I'm trying to explain glory to you. This is how glory works, except you be born again, except you go back and do it as a child and forget all the stuff that you thought you knew. I told Nicodemus, this is probably what Jesus is saying. I thought what master, I told him, look, the only reason you're over here because whatever you're doing ain't working. I know you got a few blessings, a few manifestations, but it don't look like Jesus wouldn't do it. All right, watch this. If it don't look like what Jesus manifested, then you ain't doing nothing. That hurts. Hurts. But if it ain't on that level, it ain't on no level. You know, we like to shout about our little manifestations. My little stuff we done got done. Boy, I prayed and it happened yesterday. And God bless that. Come on, tomorrow. Come on, day after that. Another level. Everybody say another level. Ain't nobody ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. He said, because the Son of Man was in heaven. In other words, I came from there. Listen, I know how this works. Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I'm going to get back to that in a second. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Right, y'all see that? Yes. Then verse 16, y'all go ahead and read it. Read it. Ready, read. Should not perish but have everlasting life. Should not perish but have eternal life. He said that in verse 15 already. So he'd already said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. But he adds something at the beginning of 16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Y'all see it? He's saying the same thing in verse 15 that he said in verse 16, but he's adding something to it to give more context. Do y'all see it? If you see it, say amen. And I'm sitting and I'm reading it because I done read that scripture. How many times we done quoted John 3:16? Oh, Lord, how many times? We done quoted it. We use it to go witness to people, right? We say, you know, for God so loved the world, right? And we use it to explain. We do it over and over again. And I there's so many times that I have to approach it with new eyes. I gotta be born again. Yeah. I gotta approach the scriptures goo goo gaga. Like, I gotta approach it as a baby, because if I don't approach it as a baby, I'll never get the deep things that are in there. The deep things that are at the bottom, that are the simple things that really is gonna explode everything about what we're doing. But I can't get there if I go to it as a reverend. If I go to it as some super deep spiritual guy already. So I got to go in there when I approach it. See, this is your meditation now. When you approach the scripture, you got to approach the scripture as a child. If you approach it as a grown-up, you ain't going to get nothing. Break yourself down. And say, humble yourself in the mighty name. Humble, 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 humble. Lower the thought process that you have about things, and then God will lift you up. He talks about Jesus in Philippians 2. I know I'm jumping, but he talks about Jesus. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He said, let. So in other words, if you let the mind, that means the mind there, but you got to let it take over. Right? Everybody say let. When you let something happen, that means it has the possibility to do it, but you got to allow it to be done. So it said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Watch this. He said, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, I wasn't downplaying myself, but I made of myself no reputation. And he humbled himself. In other words, I knew who I was, but I made myself down here so I can understand what needs to be done. There's no such thing as growing down. Everything, we always talk about growing up. Are y'all hearing me? There's no such thing as growing down. We always talk about growing up. So in order for me to grow up, I got to be down here first to go up. We've been trying to start in the air. Nobody don't want to get dirty. Oh, amen. Nobody don't want to stand on the ground. Come on, y'all listening to me. Because I got to grow. Humble, 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 humble. I've got to approach it as a child. I got to approach it like I don't know everything. I'm reading the scripture. I said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And my mind flipped. I was like, whoa, hold on. You're saying something different right now. So I get to clicking and start looking stuff up, because I was like, well, I never really looked up what he meant by the world. We always say a bunch of stuff, worldly people. Y'all familiar with that phrase, huh? That's just people that don't go to church with you. You call them worldly, because they don't fellowship like you do. There's worldly folks. Come on, y'all. I know y'all don't like it. Come on. I don't care. It's worldly. Y'all know I ain't lying to y'all right now. How the world don't do stuff in the world. You out in the world, living wrong. So you clear with that definition before I give you the new one? I just don't know if you want to keep it. You want to keep that one, or do you want to upgrade? Keep or upgrade? Come on, say it. Keep or upgrade? Or you want to keep it? Hold on, no, you got a shot. Because you're so sure this is worldly. Yeah, he gonna have his way. Lord is having his way right now. Have your way, right? I'm in the way right now. Let's go. So I said, well, let me use my little deep little concordance or whatever to define what the Greek word mean. I hit the word world, and I never had hit it before because I just assumed that I knew everything. Know it all. Look at your neighbor and say, know it all. Look at your neighbor and say, know it all. Now, we're clear that verse 15 says what the end of verse 16 says, right? Come on, go back to verse 15. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And I know he said eternal, everlasting, all that's the same, all right? Verse 15, then go to verse 16, and we see that the end of that looks just like verse 15. So he had said that already, so why did you repeat yourself? But I had to add something at the beginning to give you context to how we get to this. So now it says, for God so loved the world, say it. Come on, say it again. For God so loved the world.
God so loved.
One more time. Say, for God so loved the world.
God so loved the world.
Now, we thought he was talking about people and thought about, well, he loved everybody. And that's the truth. But that wasn't what he was saying right there. Uh-oh, you were in trouble now, huh? Because you thought that was it. I had the word world because it was originally written in Greek. So they said it the original way it was said. And it was translated to this, but we translate it according to our American eyes. We think we're smarter than everybody else. I hit the word world, and it says an orderly arrangement. It says an apt, which means it has the ability. It has enough in it already. It's apt. Yeah. It's up to par. Right. An apt and harmonious arrangement or constitution, an order or a government. Then it goes start talking about the word ornament. You know, like an ornament you put on a tree? Like something that decorates, it's like an ornament, an adornment. It's something that's beautiful. Listen. So now he says, for God so loved the world. So I already love what I set up. So here's what's added on for verse 15 to verse 16. I so love, it says, now Jesus talking, he said, God so loved what he made already. He loves how he set it up already. I love the original terms that I already made this under. I've already arranged it, I already made the government, I already constituted it, I already put it in order, and I already put everything that you need on the inside of it. I love it the way that I made it. I love it the way that it is. For God so loved what I made and I arranged from the jump. Everybody say world.
World.
Come on, say it again. Say world.
World.
One more time. Say world.
World.
God say, I already love how I set it up. I've already put seed time and harvest in here. I've already given you dominion. I've already breathed myself. Let's go back to the beginning. I've already breathed myself on the inside of you. I like the way I set it up. Give it a little different connotation now. Come on, amen. Does it give a little different connotation? Now, I knew that one. I know you didn't. This is a different connotation. I love the order and the setup that I already put out there. Like when I did it at the beginning and I built it, I love that already. And I still been loving it even though man been messing it up. So I so love the way that it's set up already and the way that I adorned it and the way that I set it up and the way that I put it in order and the way that I set up the Constitution the way that I want, not the American Constitution, his Constitution. The way that I set up, I love that so much. That he gave his only begotten son. Now you think that's somebody else. You don't think that's you.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
You don't think he was talking about you? And you, oh Lord Jesus, you don't think he was talking about you. So we still keep clapping our hands about what was done 2,000 years ago and you're not doing nothing now. That he gave his only begotten son. Now, there's a scripture in the Bible, and I don't have time to go there. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees got mad at Jesus because he called himself the Son of God. And in the way they described him, the reason they were really mad is not because he called himself the Son of God, but at that time, we're Western, we're American, so we don't think it like this. We don't think the Father is equal to the Son. But at that time, in that culture, in that tradition, what those words meant was when you called yourself a son of somebody, that means you were equal with the Father. So they got mad at Jesus. Listen to me again. They got mad at Jesus because he called himself the Son of God, which made him equal with God. That's what the scriptures say.
Yep.
So now a son is equal to the Father. Say it.
Son is equal to the
say it again.
Son.
Come on, say it again.
Son.
Now, if you're a child in here, you're a son, you're a young boy, and you're here with your daddy, don't get up and start wilding now because the Father will knock you out. You get some context. But in this, the Son is equal to the Father. Go back to verse 16. So now he's saying, I love the way I set it up so much. I've already made it perfect. I've already made it like it's supposed to be. I don't need you to add anything, nor take anything away. I just need you to align to how I made it. Are y'all listening to me? I don't need you to add anything or take anything away. I just need you to line up with how I set it up because I love it like that already. So he's saying his only begotten equal. Something equal with the Father, right?
Yes.
So I sent what's equal to me in the flesh. We ain't got time to go there, but if you flip up a couple chapters in John chapter 1, it talks about the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Y'all heard that before?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So I sent my only equal. I sent the equal version of me in the flesh.
Right.
couple more things I got to define. I got to get there. I thought I knew that scripture, boy. This all happened to me last night. I didn't meditate on this for 6 months. This all happened just that quick, but you just got to approach a certain way. It don't take that long to get nothing from God. It's all about your approach. The reason it takes, oh my God, the reason that time takes so long for things to happen is because how we're approaching those things. We're approaching them like we know them already or like we got them together. And so it takes forever for something to happen because we're not approaching as a child. We got to tarry so long in the spirit. Tarry and pray so long. And then sometimes you pray a long time and you don't hear nothing. Because you're approaching it like you know already. You know, even when you pray sometimes, this is why he said, there's one time they asked him not to pray. There's one time. And he didn't tell them, he said, you know, when you pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The only time he said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's the time he taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he's saying, it's speaking identity again. And he made it simple because he didn't want you to send random thoughts about what you wanted to get done. Have you ever prayed like that before? Have you ever prayed your will? Yeah, you done prayed it. Yeah, you done prayed your will. If you asked for any amount of money, you done prayed your will. If you ever prayed for somebody else, you prayed your will. Now I'm talking about like pray for somebody to give you somebody else. That's praying your will. You ever pray for somebody else to do what you think they ought to do? Witchcraft. You don't want me to call you a witch, but I mean, you know. So I need you to pray like, our Father, all name, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your way be done, no will be done in earth. Because you don't have the level of clearance to be able to be sovereign to do everything. I sent my equal down here in the flesh to show you what you look like in the flesh. Because here's what it says. That whosoever believeth in him, not on him, it makes a difference. Believeth in him should not perish. That means die, that means kill, that means be destroyed, but have everlasting life. So whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, like him, as him, and do the same thing in his name, I'm going to say that in a minute, do it like him, right? They will not perish, but will have everlasting life. This is not a going to heaven scripture. This is a right now dominion scripture. Everybody say right now, dominate. Come on, say right now, dominate. Come on, say right now, dominate. That's the kind of scripture this is. Dominate. Verse 17, for God sent not his equal into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send it down here to tell them that they ain't no good. He already loved the world. He liked the way I set it up. Listen, he liked the way he built you. He liked the way he made you. Why are you so upset about how he made whatever he made about you? Get over it. The rainbow would be one big band of one color if there was no difference. We wouldn't even think it was pretty. We'd be like, look at that big line in the air. Except, listen. I like the way I set your world up already. Sometimes things happen and we don't like the way they happen, huh? I'm sure God didn't like the fact that they ate from the tree too, but hey, we got to deal with it. He didn't stop talking to us. And sometimes stuff come up and we don't know, why this always happened to me? Thou does not inquire wisely concerning this. You're asking the wrong question. I like the way I set it up because sometimes the way I set it up gives you resilience. You'll never know if you ain't got to go through it. But your perspective, reading that name the other way, right? Looking at it from the wrong direction, you'll be like, oh, I'm out the will of God. I'm getting attacked. No, it ain't an attack. It's a strengthener. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. I like the way I set it up already. For God sent not his son into the adornment, the arrangement, the constitution, the government, to condemn it. And you know the number one definition of the word condemn in the Greek? It says separation. Wow. I didn't come to separate y'all. I didn't come to tell you that y'all not good enough. I didn't come To distinguish between the two, I come to make us one. I'm just going to do it. We just got to go back and listen to this. I hope y'all listen to me right now. God has sent out his son in the world to separate the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, you know, you think you know what saved mean, huh? Say, what it mean to be saved? You prayed the prayer, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I know it hit home. I know. You think you know what it means to be saved? You think you know what that word means? So me being a student, I hit my little concordance again. See what the Greek, and the first definition came up, it says one. It says one, it says whole. Now all the other stuff you thought, well, you know, snatch out the pit and save you from destruction. It mean all that too, but you're not snatched out the pit until you become one with the Father. I got a question for you. Have you ever gone through something and then you got a little deliverance and thought you were saved and then went back through that same thing? Anybody? So that means you really wasn't saved. You really wasn't saved. You just took a vacation from the problem. Come on, because if you saved, E-D, you are saved. Not getting saved, not will be saved, but you're saved. That means ain't no going back. That can't touch me no more. It can try to touch me, but it can't touch me. Can't touch this. Saved. First they go, one. So God sent not in this world to separate, but through the world might be one. God didn't come, he didn't send Jesus here to cause separation. He sent Jesus here to make everybody one under the same adornment or the same government or the same constitution or the same environment that he made from the beginning. So through him, through his ways, through his functioning, everything becomes one. Right now, we got so many denominations of Christianity. Come on, y'all can name them, huh? Word of Faith, non-denominational, full gospel, Episcopalian, Methodist, Baptist, Kojic, come on, Catholic. Come on, we can keep going, Seventh-day, like we just keep going, and there's so much separation. No wonder there's so much condemnation in the church. You ever heard the phrase, I got to say it quick, you ever heard the phrase divide and conquer? Yeah, what it means is if we together, we're stronger together. But if I can divide y'all, make you stand over there and stage, I can knock you out first, then come and knock you out second. And now, because fighting both of y'all is a little difficult for me, but if I can divide you, make you think that you better and they're them and they heathens and you special over here, although you do some heathenish stuff, but you special. And I always like to use this, well, I ain't drinking. Was you mad yesterday? That go under the same list. Whatever your list is, and fornication, adultery, stealing, murder, and then mad right there. And it ain't in no order because it can flip in a second. He that believeth on him, verse 18, is not separated. He that believeth on him is not separated. He that believeth on him is one with the Father. You are not somebody trying to get somebody something from somebody. You got it already. Say, I already got it. But you got to believe on him to know you already got it. If you're believing on you, you're separated. Or if you're believing on anything else that you got from anywhere else other than Jesus, you're separated. But he that believeth on him is not condemned, is not separated. But he that believeth not, condemned already in your own mind. You already separated. Verse 18, but he that believeth not is already separated already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He has not believed in the name. You know what you think? You know what name means. I got you some definitions, man. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Name. I look up the word name. It's the Greek name. And you're talking about character. But it says, watch this. I'll say it. Let me hit it so I don't read it wrong. It says a name is used for everything which the name covers. Everything, the thought or feeling of which is it aroused in the mind by mentioning, hearing, remembering the name, one's rank, authority, interest, pleasures, command, excellences, and deed. Everybody say in the name of Jesus. Hold on, calm down before you pray in the name of Jesus next time. Calm down before you do something in the name of Jesus. Because it's not alakazam, it's not a magic trick with a magic word to make stuff pop. It's talking about the rank, the authority, the interests, and the pleasures, the command and then the excellences. It's talking about a way of living. It's talking about a way of concerning, a way of carrying myself. I've seen people that want their business to pop off but don't want care for children. I've seen people want their life to get to, we got this list of all things that we want to happen in life, but we won't do things like Christ does them. The way Christ does them is not far-fetched. He said, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with how much? All your heart, your mind, your soul. He said, what's the second one? Love you who? Everybody outside of your body is your neighbor. It's your house. Everybody outside your body is your neighbor. Love your neighbor how? As you love yourself, right? Then he says, on this hangs everything else you think you believe and all the people that preach it to you. And that's not difficult, but it's got to be focused. Anything outside of that is separation. Anything outside of that is trying to operate the vacuum, but you ain't got the plug in the socket. So it don't work. Come on, y'all, it don't work. I got a battery one. Okay, take the battery out. I always got some kind of smart answer. I'll be hearing you. Are y'all understanding me? He had not believed in the interest and the pleasures and the command and the excellences and the deeds and the authority and everything that name, the feeling that name's bring. He has not believed or acted on or built his life. Believe? Yeah, believe. That means be living it. Like you had not given your life to Christ like you thought you did. Oh. Have you really given your life to Jesus? Oh, for a quick second, I'm about to close my Bible. Have you really given your life to Christ like you say you have? Listen, don't answer me. Don't give me your scriptures. Just listen to me for a second. All right. Have you really given yourself over to the totality of who Christ is in you? No, quick. I'm about to cut the devil's head off right quick. I'm about to cut his head off right quick. I'm not talking about your morals. Your morals are a response of separation. Bad morals are a response of separation. Doing the things the proper way is a response of connection. All right, listen. So I'm not talking about, well, I did something bad yesterday. Ain't nobody asked you about that. I'm talking about, am I really interested in what Jesus is interested in? Am I really thinking consistently about his excellences and his deeds? And when I do say the name of Jesus, am I really doing this in the name and the character and the feeling of Jesus? I know you went to the altar. And I know you repeated after me and prayed the prayer. I understand. But after that, after we've been doing it, he said, do you still believe after all these years? Am I interested in what Jesus is interested in, or am I interested in Jesus to get what I want from him? The interest and the pleasures and the command and the excellences and the deeds. When last time Jesus is talking about, just go read it. You're not going to find it unless you read the red words. I'm sorry. You're not going to find it unless you get in the gospel and read and start seeing what he say he expect of you. And he's showing you what you look like as him. Yeah. Then he says, he that believeth is another believe. Well, he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, that don't just mean the miracles. That means when he humbled himself a lot of times and put himself on the line for people that seemed not to be put on the line for. You remember the woman that they're about to get stoned? Go back and read that scripture. He put himself in gun range. He wasn't talking from the side. He put himself in firing range with her. Now, I know this is not customary, and I know we're about to leave. Go ahead and get your things, so we're about to walk out. and I mean, hold on. Everybody keep still. Everybody's walking, keep still for a quick second. Everybody's walking. I know you're going to do things or whatever. We'll figure it out. But everybody's walking, keep still, and just look, you fasten your eyes on me for a quick second. And just look at me for a quick second. The thief coming out before the steal, kill, and destroy. And what he's trying to steal is when you see something else about yourself that you're supposed to see about your identity, he tries to steal it, and he does it quick. He don't, if I get the seed before it takes root, then I got it. It's easier then. When it starts taking some root, boy, it's hard to pull that up. And I'm not saying don't be ugly with nobody. That ain't Jesus like either. And don't be I'm not making a law religious or we always get so deep, like so spiritual and lawful that we be forgetting stuff. But I like leaving right now on this moment. I ain't giving no five to nobody, shaking hands or nothing. I don't want to shake hands five people and tell them I got it now. No, because sometimes we don't be having it. Ain't that the truth? Sometimes I gave somebody a high five and as soon as I got in the car, I lost that thing that I had. Anybody? I'm not by myself, right? As soon as I got in the car or whoever I was riding with said something to me and it just made me lose my mind that I just got for the last hour and a half. Can I get an amen? Y'all know I'm not lying, right? Y'all know it's true, right? Let's be intentional. We leave out this moment. I love solemn assemblies. I like quiet church better than amen church. Because sometimes you're yelling amen so much you don't hear what's being said. It's the truth. And but I know you're quiet, you're thinking, and you're listening. And I appreciate a solemn assembly. If you ever heard that before, I appreciate that. Because I need you to be thinking about this past lunch today. I'll say this, and it's the best way I can say it. There are things that the Father has intended to manifest in this world that he created and he loved so much that will not happen if we all don't totally die to what we think and arise as Christ. This is how detrimental it is. We used to sing this song called, I Need You, You Need Me. We're all a part of God. Y'all remember that? Yeah, but watch this. It's the truth. That it is not just the reverend or who you think is deep, who you think, no. Every single person under the sound of my voice must walk around like Christ. Not Christ-ish. Not have a moment of Christ. Listen to me. Not have spurts of Jesus, but a lifestyle. Jesus said, I come that you might have life. The thief come not to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and you'll have it more abundantly. So as we leave out of here this morning, it's still morning time. We'll remember and remind ourselves after lunch, or after our Sunday nap, because you know you wake up from a nap, you done forgot where you at. What day is it? There's three things that'll change anything. It's community, environment, and consistency. Community, the communication we had this morning. We come to church, we commune, we assemble together. Then I begin to change my environment. Change what I'm listening to, what I'm watching, who I'm allowing to speak into my life. What am I reading? What am I thinking about the most? I change my environment and it causes me to develop a consistency in Christ. Drive home right now in your car and keep pressing the gas real fast. Don't hold it down. Don't hold it down at a consistent pace so that you can get up. Just keep doing like that. One. Keep pressing it and letting it go. Pressing it, letting it go. Pressing it, letting it go. How long is it going to take you to get home? But that consistent pressure, you listen to me, Randell? That consistent pressure, you drive, right? That consistent pressure on that pedal causes consistent motion and momentum in a direction. Anybody ever been in a car like that? And do like that and about to kill on you? But that consistent. So I just want you to go to your car and go to your house and talk to your family and go and whatever and have that in mind. Don't lose it. Don't let the enemy steal it. You come as soon as I say dismissed. As soon as I say you are dismissed, he coming trying to get it. You know, the quicker I get it, the quicker I got it. He can't really take it from you. But you got to keep your mind stayed on it. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Are you understanding me? If you're looking at it and it ain't Jesus, it's taking you somewhere else. You are dismissed.